Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, giving the hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. I'm trying to preach tonight on the spiritual tune-up. Of course, these verses here, I think about any of us preachers probably could preach a message from any verse, but when I read these verses, I kind of get under conviction. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Hate that which is evil. And I wish I hated all sins as bad as I hate some sins. That I'm supposed to do that. Abhor, hate that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Well, now Barnabas went over to Antioch, and he saw the grace of God in them that got converted, and he exhorted them with purpose of heart that they should cleave unto God. That's not even popular among Baptists today. He'd say, well, you don't need to do that. Praise God, we're saved forever. Which is true. But while you're down here between the cross and the coming, you're supposed to cleave unto God with purpose of heart. Be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love. Rejoicing in hope. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Are you guilty of not doing that? The Bible said in Romans chapter 5 and verse 2, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That is, we're shouting about something that hasn't happened yet. We got a promise from a God that cannot lie that he's going to give us a new body and finish up saving us. That is our hope. And we're supposed to rejoice in that hope. Somebody said, well, it's looking bad, ain't it? According to which are you looking? He said, hey, he told us, look up and rejoice. From having not seen your love, or now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So these verses have some real good instructions to Christian people here if we could bring ourselves to obey what it says. But I'm thinking about a tune-up. We could obey these if we get tuned up just right. You know, the older an old car gets, the more it needs to be tuned up. I feel the more I go along, if I'm going to keep on running, I'm going to have to try to get tuned up. You know what? When an old car needs tuning up, you can get it. You can actually feel it. Well, not much, you know, just a little bit. My old car, a while back, had 100,000 on it, and I thought, well, it probably needs tuning up. And I'd go down the road, and it just do that. I know some Christians do that. You know, you can feel that. It just don't sound right. You can hear it when it needs tuning. The sound's not right. Y'all got any church member down here? When they sing, when they testify, when they pray, it just don't sound right. What they need is a good tuning up, don't you think so? How long has it been since you've been tuned up? The Lord's in the tuning up business. I'm glad that he's tuning up Christians. One good way you can tell when you need tuning up, an old car needs tuning up, it's hard to start. Yeah, it'll wait about starting, you know. You just start it, sometimes you have to do it two or three times, you know. Oh, some church members, hard to get started sometimes. Oh, if they get tuned up, just like I told you, as soon as you hit it, it fires off. Well, to come in the church house with a spring in her step, smile on her face, joy in her heart, amen, shaking hands and being glad we're assembled together and we still have a little liberty in this day of liberalism and compromise and all kind of sin and Sodom and everything going on, we can still be old-time Christians and assemble around the Lord Jesus Christ and his cross and rejoice in the Lord and have fellowship in him and still be revived and get tuned up if you want to get tuned up. I've seen people lately, you know, they say, I went to church, I didn't feel him today. Well, you take an old car, it won't start, it don't feel nothing either. May God help us to get tuned up. I said, that's why we give invitations to saints and sinners. May God help us. I tell you, to get to get tuned up a little bit. A car that needs tuning will start missing. That's on Sunday night. Wheels and I, you know, it'll be a pretty good looking car outside, but it'll just start missing. You know, they never show up on Wednesday night, and sometimes not even on Sunday night. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us to show up. At least we can be there. It's required, steward, that a man be found faithful. You might not do anything else. You might not be able to sing like these folks. Might not be able to pray in public. Might not be able to preach a message or be a deacon. But you could be there. Amen. May God help us not to be missing out. You know, one fellow told me last year or two, I was over in Carolina meeting, and this young preacher, of course, I understood. He just getting started and had his first church. And he said, he said, now next year, said, I'm going to have a 2 weeks meeting. Day and night. Said, my granddaddy, said, he's a preacher, said he had 2 weeks meetings, day and night. I said, in your granddaddy's day, there's a ride mules and buggies. You didn't have no television, you didn't have no computer, you didn't have the internet, you didn't have cell phone, and they wasn't texting one another while you trying to preach either. I remember when I was even lost, I waited for the annual meeting to come. It's a gathering place. And saint and sinner went to meeting back when I was a teenage boy. And nowadays you can't hardly get saints to go. They'll say to me a while back, said, you have any sinners to get saved? I said, I can't even get any saints to get saved. You know what? Sinners just don't get saved till saints start wanting to get saved. Now, saints are already saved from sin, but they need to get saved from self. When saints get bothered about their sin, sinners get bothered about their sin. It just works that way. If saints are not weeping, sinners are not weeping. If saints are not praying, sinners are not praying. If saints are not bothered, sinners are not bothered. It just works that way. I mean, I've been in this way about 53 years, and I've run over this country for almost 50 years. You take God, saints, that's unconcerned, sinners come and go, and never get under what we call old-time conviction. But if Christians get convicted and bothered, and they get tuned up, it just works on sinners. May God help us to be tuned up. There's going to be some downtime if you get tuned up. You take an old car, they say, well, just leave the key in it out there, and I'll try to fix it. You got some downtime. One reason we can't get tuned up, we don't have any downtime. We're running here, running there. You know, care. The Bible tells us, was it Jesus told of the apostles? I think it's Luke 21:34. He said, take heed to yourselves. Listen, any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unaware. Where's the snare? Shall it come upon all them that dwell upon the earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you might be counted and worthy to accept all these things that you confess and to stand before the Son of Man. I think he's saying in the last days, cares of this life. Legitimate things that people do too much of. Nothing wrong with hunting, as long as you don't make an idol out of it. I was in a meeting one time and the old preacher, he gone on now, good preacher. He got up and said, well, I should have known better to schedule a revival in deer season. I can't have no meeting when I'm wanting to go a deer hunting. Well, I said, at least he's honest. People prepare for deer season or turkey season. They'll prepare a whole year or 6 months and wait on that. And they wouldn't miss even if they do have a cold. Don't be trying to kid me. I'm an old man. People do what they want to do, what they plan to do. Hey, amen. What a plan to be faithful to God. Plan some downtime. Pray always. Pray without ceasing. See what it says? What we need is some downtime. Time to be quiet and holy. Matter of fact, the Bible said, is it 1 Thessalonians 4, study to be quiet. And if we're quiet, we'll have to study to be quiet. If the radio is not going, the record player, CD, or the television, kids are hollering or something, may God help us to have a little downtime to get by ourselves somewhere and get along with God and talk things over the Lord and get tuned up. I'm hoping I can get tuned up this week. One thing I know wrong with an old car like that, the timing's off. You used to have them old timing chains and the timing slipped. In other words, they couldn't get there at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning at all. They just didn't make it. I told a fellow, well, that's us. Oh, he said, you know, we just couldn't make it. I said, I know it. We're on Central Time. I said, I feel sorry for you. You just can't get up and get out of here by 10 o'clock. Yeah, used to be get out, and go to work at daylight. The time will go. Nowadays, they got timing belts, and you got a total to replace that. I mean, when that belt gets messed up, you got to replace that. And you know what? A lot of folks say all time. Nothing else in that engine will work right if the timing's off. Nothing in your Christian life will work right if you don't get your time straight. Did you know some folks can't manage their time? Oh, my God, help us not to be all time. Always be on time. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Not slothful in business. You don't get any church members down there and say, well, tonight's business meeting. I'm not going tonight. In other words, you don't care. You know the reason our country's in the shape it's in? Half of the people don't even vote. Their timing's messed up. Oh, they complain about the Democrats and Republicans and Independents. And they might complain about the Democrats promoting sodomy and same-sex marriage, and they won't even take time to go to the polls and vote and think of all the blood's been shed to give you the right and the privilege to vote. May God help us. I think you ought to pick out the less of the evils and vote for them. Somebody said, well, ain't none of them no count. I said, that's no excuse. Try to find the best one. There's something wrong with all of us. Is that right? May God help us. In fact, we're not trying to, actually, Paul never spent one day trying to straighten out the government when he was here. I think since we're Americans and we're not under a dictatorship, and we do have a privilege to vote, I think we ought to vote. But Paul didn't spend no time trying to straighten the government out. No, the government hated him. He didn't care about the world system, but he did respect those that had authority over him. He didn't go around cursing the policemen. And trusting those that are in authority. We're told to obey them to have the rule over us. All the way up. I preached the other day, listen, if you don't obey, your children don't obey your parents. And people don't obey the civil authorities. And people don't come in the church house and respect the man of God, and the word of God, and the house of God. He don't respect God. When I was coming up, they put some God in the fear in you before you could go to school. Oh yeah, they taught you that the parents, they're right, even they're wrong. And then when you go to school, the teacher's right. Even if she's wrong, she's right. That's right. You come under subjection. Then that deputy sheriff and the sheriff and the civil authorities, hadn't been for them fellas, I was afraid of them. I'd have been the penitentiary by the time I was 20 years old. So they'd done what his ordained to do and put a little fear in me. Then when I went over to church, heard the man of God preach, that fear was already there. The fear of God to be given the wisdom, then the law of God, when he preached the law of God, I saw I was on God's broken commandments, and I was going to go to hell, in spite of all everybody could do look like. Then they preached Christ to me, he could deliver me, Father, and I got saved by the grace of God, but I didn't even really know how to get saved. I didn't even know how to pray, I just prayed guilty. I found out since then, if you get a case in court, the best way to get dismissed is plead guilty. Quit arguing the case. That's what repentance is, pleading guilty. Change attitude toward the rule of God. You need a tune up. Oh, you still think I'm running smooth. You better check a little deeper. You might leave one worse than anybody. If you don't get tuned up when that car goes to missing, it'll ruin it internally. A lot of people, Christian people, I know of. What they've done, they got out of time, out of tune, got to missing, and some of them even got smoking. You know, you don't want to buy an old car to smoking. You can tell they need a tune-up, they go to smoking. One of them said, I don't think y'all preach on the back. I said, I'm not preaching on the back. Anything that good shouldn't be burned up. It ought to be tuned. And if it's that good, it ought not to be spit out. You think about people paying $5 for a pack of cigarettes and putting $1 in the offering on Sunday. You think about that. I saw a fella buy one of them little old cans of Skoll or what did you call it, and paid $4 and something for a little old can of Skoll the other day. I tell you, if I had a habit bad, I'd quit and it's that expensive. You'll see them old cars, when they start smoking, you don't get it tuned up pretty quick, it starts spitting and sputtering. Things running out of the exhaust pipe and shooting. Help us, Lord. Hey, may God help us. And you know what? When a car needs tuning up, it'll need tuning up. When you get under a strain going up the hill, it don't have the power. Sometimes it'll just totally quit, just chug along. You know why a lot of people quit out? They need tuned up before the church starts uphill, because a lot of times there's mountaintops. My old pastor used to say, hey, it's uphill all the way to heaven. We're going up, and don't you think you're going to stay on the mountaintop all the time. There's hills to climb, and you better be running pretty slow when you hit one of them high hills. The devil, brother, listen, he's loose, and he's after us today. He's putting the pressure on us every way you turn. You better get in the altar and get tuned up real good and know that you're running good, and you'll be able to make it. Oh, I have people tell me all the time, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it this time or not. Well, I always tell them, we've really already made it. Just stay tuned up. As far as God's concerned, it's already fixed and finished. We're just running the race down here with patience, looking unto Jesus, often finishing our faith. May God help us to stay tuned up. That's what the church is for. To keep saints tuned up. Did you know the New Testament epistles are written to teach Christians how to live sanctified lives? I've had people say, well, I don't need any preacher to tell me how to live. I said, oh, yes, you do. If you didn't, you wouldn't need a pastor. God sent gifted men in the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and edifying the body of Christ till we all come in the unity of the faith. And so God uses his preachers, his pastors, his under-shepherds, his evangelists to tune us up. So we can keep on maturing in the grace of God. God wants us to mature and grow in grace in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible said in 2 Peter 1 and verse 5, give diligence. In Tennessee language, that means be careful. Give diligence, make your calling and election sure. Add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. You add these things to it. If these things be in you and abound, then make it that you need to be buried and unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man lack these things, he's blind and cannot see afar off. He's not totally blind, he just lost his vision. And forgotten that he was pressed from his old sins. He didn't forget he got saved. He forgot where God brought him from. He done exactly what the Israelites had done. The Lord said, you get over there, live in them houses you didn't build, eat them fruits, that fruit from them trees you didn't plant. If you're not careful, you forget where you come from. Forget where you brought from. A lot of us, I think, we forgot where the Lord brought us from. We are here tonight because God not only saved us, but he's kept us and brought us and protected us over to now. Lord, take a minute out and say, praise God. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fall. That is from your steadfastness. You'll never fall from your steadfastness if you add these things to your faith. Don't just be satisfied with being saved. A lot of people just say, well, I'm saved, and that's all I need. No, that's not all you need to live a victorious Christian life. You need a church, you need a Bible, you need a prayer life, you need to add these things, you need to be tuned up constantly. That's right, you need to be worked on. That's what we're doing out here. Folks trying to work on one another. We're trying to do it right, you know, showing hospitality. You have been in them old churches where nobody speaks to you and shakes hands with you? I just can't hardly stand to be around people that call themselves Christians. And they're not filled with hospitality and friendliness and showing love and having compassion on one another. That'll bring a meeting if you do that. You know what? Some people try to get by when they go to have a, and I'm bad for this myself, start to get a tune-up. They want to replace just as few parts as possible. That's kind of the way we are when we're trying to get tuned up with the Lord. We just barely want to get a little spurt. Just get feel a little bit better. No. One fellow said, now, you, while that guy had my old car tuned up, and I said, you need a set of plugs. But said, you know, you got them platinum plugs. That said, they're $12.95 a piece. I said, reckon I can get by without them. You know, that's why we are when we start getting tuned up with the Lord. Lord, I know I need to lay this weight aside and this thing aside. Reckon I can keep that a while and run a little bit longer than that. He said, you can get by without them, but it won't run right. He said, if you want to run right, spend a little money, help you to get gas mileage, help you to run better. And I said, well, go ahead and see if you can get me a bargain. Let everybody know they're hunting bargains. Leave hunt bargains for me. Go to the Lord a lot of times. Well, you know, a lot of our preachers and churches, they do run the bargain counter. They've called out repentance, called out regeneration. They now say, if you just walk down the aisle, take a six-foot spiritual eye, take a hand, nod your head, hear three questions, they guarantee you to go to heaven, you don't never feel anything. One fellow said, well, I don't think there's any feeling in salvation. I said, no, but you can't get saved and not feel it. You can feel justification, but you can feel regeneration. If you didn't feel something in your heart, you wouldn't know he'd done anything for you in heaven. Justification is legal.
Regeneration, spiritual, letting you know he's justified you in heaven. You got a direct hookup from your heart to heaven. That's the reason you feel bad when you don't do right. You're supposed to feel bad if you're not dedicated. One man told me, he said, your preaching didn't make me feel good today. I said, my preaching's not designed to make you feel good. It's designed to glorify God. And if you obey us, then you'll feel good. We don't want some people to feel good under our preaching. That's not what we're preaching to make people feel good. But if you get tuned up, you try to keep them feeling good. You get around when the Lord's blessing his people, and I tell you, they're singing them old songs about blood and salvation, heaven, and joy unspeakable. First thing you know, you feel some joy bells ringing. May God help us. We need to get tuned up. Now, I got my old car tuned up. There wasn't nobody said anything about wanting it. I got tuned up a while back, and a fella rode with me about 10 miles. And he said, I like this car. I said, you take it up and get rid of it. He said, I'm interested in it. You know what I thought? That's why folks not interested in what we got. It's not running right. If I didn't say anything about selling the car, tell me this. I didn't say I'd be interested in it. I just got to thinking, if Christians were tuned up and running right, you know what? That sinner would be interested in what we've got. The reason they're not interested, too many Christians are not tuned up. You ever see anybody, they get all went down by the meeting, and this fella come in, a man, they sung two or three songs like that, and he got up, man, and went to shouting. The first time I'd ever seen him, he went to shouting a victory, man, up and down the aisles. He was happy in the Lord. We had a good old time meeting, and went up to a little restaurant like most Baptists do after service, did us a burger, and he wouldn't even sit down. He shouted in the restaurant. And this lady was waiting on us. She's, I'd say, 50 years old. He went out and started this car, and man, he let out another war hoop. Said, glory to God. And that lady said to me, said, do you know that man? I said, I do. I've been church with him tonight. She said, he's got what we need. And her a lost person. I'm not saying hollering makes him any better, but he's still a shouting. I know him now. He's about 87. And he's still shouting the victory. Every time he gets in the meeting, he'll get all stirred up about it. Sometimes you call on the phone, you have to on the phone, and say, glory to God. People now, you know what? They're too nice to glorify God. I told somebody a while back, I said, listen, I was running with a wildest crowd I could run with back in the 50s, and I wasn't much interested in God and nothing else. I didn't go to church to get saved. I went because the people asked me to go. I hadn't been to church in several years. And I went over there with them, little old storefront church. In town, I went up to Indiana to work after I got out of the Army in 1957, and I went in that little old storefront church with some theater seats, and they was happy about going to heaven. Man, I hadn't been in a meeting. I never had been in a church like that. They was happy about it. And I thought, man, they act like they really mean what they're doing. So I went back, see it again. Preaching didn't mean much to me right then, but man, they was rejoicing in the Lord. One old lady, man, she would shout around every meeting. She'd shout, and I just kept going back. It's putting out that gospel net. Amen. It's preaching that word of God, and it got to me. Did you know why she read the book of Acts? Almost every time somebody got happy and rejoiced in the book of Acts, somebody else got saved. You know there's happy in Acts 2, don't you, when the Spirit of God come like a rushing mighty wind? 3,000 got saved. Acts chapter 3, blind man asked in alms of Baptist preachers, he should have knew better. And they said, silver and gold, how thy number, says that I'll give out thee in the name of Jesus Christ, and as rise up, they're going to pray. It's our prayer to the Jewish temple. And this fellow sank upon the received strength, and he went to the temple, leaping and praising God. He got the attention, Peter preached, about 5,000 got saved. Don't look at me like that, that's just what it says. Get over there in Acts 16, Paul and Silas was in jail. Can you imagine preachers being in jail now at midnight? We'd be singing the blues and calling every deacon we could think of. Come over and get us out. They started singing, praying and singing praises. They were not just singing. They were singing praises unto God. And God sent an earthquake and awakened the jailer. And the jailer and his whole household got saved because two preachers got happy at midnight. They went to preaching to him after he come in. They weren't preaching to him to begin with. Acts 16, you Bible readers know that's right. Somebody might get stirred up and want to get saved, but me and you get happy. You know what revival do? The Bible said, we'll thou not revive us again, Psalms 3, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Now you can rejoice without having a revival, but you can't have a revival without having rejoicing. Just as soon as you get revived, there will be somebody that will rejoice in the Lord. You might not make as much noise as me. You might not be as public as other folks, but there'll be some doorbells bubbling up in your bosom. You'll be happy that you're saved, and you'll get more in love with the Lord, and more in love with the Lord's people, and more in love with the church as a whole, and you'll have a greater burden for sinners. If we get tuned up and revived just right, it might amaze us what happened around here. May God help us. I'm needing a tune-up. Anybody here needing a tune-up? Just any little thing can happen to the firing system in the car, and it'll mess it up. Just any little thing can happen to my firing system, and it'll mess me up. Yes, sir. You got to have a refill. You can't just keep on running. You got to have some fuel in that car. I have mine tuned up, and it is a fact what all was in the fuel filter. It might surprise you if you get looking down in your system real good, young heart, what all you got in there needs to be cleaned out. Did you ever think about it? Oh, I've thought about it. You know, if I could just see my own self. The Bible talks about jealousy and, well, what is it, Ephesians 4, I think, over there, maybe verse 29 or somewhere there. He said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That means don't be talking about other people. But that which is good, you should edify. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you seal the redemption. Let all bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Have that right time of spirit and compassion and concern and fellowship toward other people. That's what revival is. Revival is God's people getting tuned up and refreshed and getting their joy restored. Get happy about being saved, happy about the church, happy we live in America yet. You know, you could have been born over somewhere where there's no Bibles or no Baptist churches. It's wonderful that we still live around here, I think. Now, there's a lot wrong with the country, and I could preach a month on that, what all's wrong. And I do preach about what's wrong. At the same time, are you glad we have a few things that's still right and still have a little bit of liberty? Oh, I praise God for that. I'm confessing to you that I've got to have a tune up every once in a while. I got to have some downtime. If I'm not careful, the old car, I just let it go. Even if it does miss and get less miles of the thing, I just keep driving along to the run. Some people run like that till it quits. Do you know what happens to automobiles that people let go and don't have tuned up and keep up the maintenance? And you know where they're at? They're in the junkyard. You know where some Christians are? I know preachers. And I'm not saying this in a sarcastic way, but they're in the junkyard tonight. They didn't stay tuned up. Their Christian life got in trouble. Their marriage got in trouble. Their home got in trouble. Their church life got in trouble. And they didn't take time, some downtime, to get things fixed. They thought they could keep on running and keep on running and let these things go. And the first thing you know, they totally quit and wind up picking them up and taking them to the junkyard. Now, there's still automobiles over there. Some of them look pretty good on the outside, but they won't run. And there's a lot of Christians, I think. In the areas I've been, I think I know several of them. 40 years ago, 50 years ago, oh, yeah, they're dedicated members. They're going to church, but they didn't put away bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor. They didn't put them back. They didn't get tuned up. They kept on leaving it in there and kept on trying to run. Well, I don't have anything against anybody. And first thing you know, when they got a chance, they were talking about other people. And the first thing you know, they wind up in the garbage heap and they wonder what's wrong. May God help us. May God forgive us. May God help us to take some time. Listen, our children, our grandchildren, our lost relatives, our friends and neighbors is at stake. If we don't have real revival in this day, we are going to be out of business pretty quick. I'm hoping the Lord won't let you rest. The Lord's bothering me about it. I'm going to try to get tuned up down here, man. That singing about tuned me up. I'm telling you. I like, you'd go me 3 months, you'd like that singing.